Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever wanted your life to be different? Like, doesn't there have to be a different, a better, bigger way to live? Or maybe you want to be different. You just feel like there is a superior version of you. You, not like you're a different person, but like a better you. And if you've ever felt like that, me too. And today is going to be good for you and for me, because today we're continuing our series, Different. We're learning that God does have a different life for us, probably different from the life we're living, and definitely different from the lives most people are living. In this series, we're going through a book of the Bible called 1 Peter. It was written by Peter to Christians in around the year 65 AD. Reading it, you'll see that today, 2,000 and some years later, man, so many things are still so similar. So today, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 19. We'll check it out, and then we'll kind of break it down. Here's what Peter writes. So, prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. So there's this call to be holy. Be holy in everything you do. God says, be holy because I am holy. We're supposed to be holy, but what's holy? Like, what is holy? We don't use the word holy much. You might hear someone say holy mackerel or holy moly or holy But what is holy? What is a holy life? Well, the word holy is translated into our English language, our English Bible, from the original word hagias. You're like, ice cream? No, not Häagen-Dazs, hagias. Hagias means, it actually means different. Something that is set apart from everything else. It's different from everything else. It has a unique purpose. It's pure. And isn't that awesome? Listen, I don't know what you think about you, but God is saying that you are not ordinary. You are not common. You are special. There is a better life for you. You are called to a bigger purpose. God didn't create you to fit in. He created you to stand out. If you were ordinary, common, well, you could be like everyone else, but you're not. You're different. You are a child of God. You have a royal destiny. You have an eternal purpose. So act like it. Act like it. You're different. The problem is we want to be the same. It's easier to fit in instead of standing out. There was an article a while back called The Rise of the Redheads. Turns out that there was quite a backlash among the ginger community. Is that the right terminology? Is that allowed? So there was a backlash about not having red-headed emojis on phones. Apparently, there were like 700 emoji faces, but not one had red hair. The redheads are pissed, and you don't want to get them upset. They started a petition, 15,000 signatures demanding ginger emojis. Why? Because they don't want to be left out. And we might think that's silly, but we're the same, right? No one wants to be left out. We want to be included. But Peter says, listen, if you chose Jesus, you chose a different life. You're not going to be the same. You're not going to fit in. You are going to stand out. Why? Because you are not common. You are not ordinary. You are special. There is a better life for you. You are called to a bigger purpose. It's kind of like a suit. I own a suit. A better example might be a tuxedo, but I don't own a tuxedo. Now, I have lots of clothes. I've got jeans, and I've got pants, and I've got socks and shoes and shirts and unmentionables. And I wear those clothes every single day, but I do not wear my suit every day. Why? It's not common. It's not ordinary. It's special, right? Like if we're painting a room in our house, I'm putting on like old sweatpants and an old t-shirt. I am not putting on my suit. If we're gonna go and play football in the park, I'm putting on shorts and a t-shirt. I am not putting on my suit. If we're going swimming, I am not putting on my suit. Well, I would put on my bathing suit, but that's different. My suit is special. I wear it to weddings and funerals and not much else because it's not common. It's not ordinary. It's special. It's for better occasions. It has a bigger purpose. I actually wonder if sometimes when I'm not home, maybe my suit trash talks my other clothes. He's like, yo, nothing. Yo, mama was a cheap factory in Indonesia. I've never gone through a drive-thru at a restaurant. Hey, shorts, you ever been to a wedding? I don't think so. T-shirts, how much you cost? $10? Oh, $14? Ooh, $500 right here. The lining of my jacket sleeve is worth more than you. Come on, you want some of this? Probably not. But God is saying, you are the suit. You're the suit, so be holy, be different. And because you are holy, because you are different, set apart, there are some things you won't do, even if other people do them. We read in the next chapter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. And he continues with the same theme in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. He says, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you. He's saying, so now that you're a Christian, there are some things you won't do. And other people won't understand it. You'll be different. You'll stand out. They may not like it, but that's okay because you are not common. You are not ordinary. You are special. There's a better life for you. You are called to a bigger purpose. So you don't just go along with what's happening around you just because it's happening. You don't just believe what everyone else believes just because they believe it. You don't just do what everyone else is doing just because they're doing it. You don't go back to living the life you used to live because that's not who you are anymore. You are a child of God. You are waiting, Peter says, for the return of Jesus. You're different, and you have your eyes on the prize. You're in this to win this, so be holy. There are some things you won't do. And because you're holy, because you're different, set apart, there are some things you will do, even if other people don't. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he writes, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. So it's like he says, first, here are some things you should not want in your life. And then he says, and then here are some things you should want. You should crave godliness, crave spiritual sustenance so that you can grow. Being holy isn't just what you don't do. It's also what you do do. I just said do. It's not just about what you don't want. It's also about what you do want. Not just modifying external behaviors, but getting God in us in a way that it transforms us from the inside out. And did you notice who he's talking to? He said, now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. So he's talking to Christians, right? Those who have already tasted and seen that the Lord is good. He's like, you know God's love. You know the better life God has for you. He's not writing to people who don't know, who don't know the life of God, the love of God. He's not writing to non-Christians. He's not saying that someone who doesn't believe in Jesus should be holy. And so as Christians, we don't put Christian expectations on people who aren't Christians, right? We don't look down on people who don't follow Jesus for not living like they follow Jesus. We are concerned with our own lives and our own behavior. And this call to be holy is for people who know God, know his love, and have chosen to live the better life he has for us. We are called to be holy. But why would we want to? I mean, it's not easy. God will help us if we're committed to it, but still, it's not easy. So why? Why should you want to be holy? Well, Peter gives us several reasons. The first is the command of God. First is the command of God. 1 Peter back in chapter 1. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. One reason I want to be holy is because God says so. If you're a Christian, that should be enough. If God says it, we do it. If God says be holy, end of discussion. God is smarter than we are. God cares about us more than we do. And God is our Lord. He's God. So you just say the word God and we do it. We live to please you. A second reason to be holy is the judgment of God. Verse 17, he says, and remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure exactly how this works. So the Bible makes it clear that if a person becomes a Christian, their sins are washed away, forgiven, and will not be held against them. But the Bible also makes it clear that even Christians will be held accountable for their actions. You are going to give an account for what you do in your life as a Christian at the award ceremony in heaven. And God is your Father, and he loves you, and he wants to reward you for what you did with your life. Third reason to be holy is Jesus' blood. He says, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Man, we were stuck in our sin. We were guilty of our sin. We were facing judgment and punishment for our sin. And Jesus died to save us. He died to free us from our sin, to take our guilt, to take our judgment and our punishment. We couldn't do it, so Jesus did it for us, and he did it by dying for us. He did everything for us. What should we do in response? Everything, right? He died to free us from sin. If we just keep on living the same way, it's like we're saying to him, I know you gave your life so I could stop sinning, but I'm just going to keep sinning anyway. And Jesus said in John 14, 15, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love for him, gratitude for him makes us want to be holy. A fourth reason to be holy is also found in that same verse. 1 Peter 1:17 says, from the empty way of life. It says, Jesus saved us from the empty way of life that we had been living. The old way we were living, it was empty. Now, I'm not saying it wasn't fun. There is pleasure, but man, then it's always followed by pain, right? You did whatever it is you did, and then you regret whatever it is you did. There's pain. There's pain for you, and it may have led to pain for someone else. Living for ourselves, for pleasure, living a life that's not the life God has for us, it's empty. What's really crazy is when a Christian tastes this new life God has for them and then goes back to the old life. I heard a story about a homeless guy who was digging through the garbage in a dumpster behind a restaurant. Well, the owner of the restaurant happens to drive up, sees him, and is just filled with compassion. So he calls this guy out of the dumpster, and he says, listen, I own this restaurant, and I'm going to allow you to eat here in my restaurant for free anytime you want, rest of your life. Come on in with me. So they walk into the restaurant. This was kind of a cafeteria-style restaurant, kind of like a buffet. There was this incredible buffet line with all kinds of food there. And the owner showed all the amazing food to this homeless man, and he says, you can eat anything you want. What's mine is yours. And the homeless guy says, really? Anything? The owner says, yes, anything you want. And the homeless guy says, great, that means I can go back and eat the garbage out of the dumpster. No, that story never happened. That's not true, right? That would be stupid. And I wonder sometimes if maybe God looks at us, at how he rescued us from living an empty life, and how we sometimes go back to it, and he's like, oh, that's just stupid. And we need to get out of the dumpster and move to the buffet line of God's blessings for us. We choose to live a holy life, to live different because we are different. We are not ordinary, not common. We're special. There's a better life for us. We are called to a bigger purpose. And God said to. And there's the judgment of God. And Jesus died for us to be holy. And we don't want to live an empty life anymore. If we choose to live different, to be holy, it will not lead us back into an empty life. It will lead us into a life of love. That's what Peter says. After writing about Jesus died for us and we're called to be holy, Peter writes that you were cleansed from your sin when you obeyed the truth. So now, he says, show sincere love to your brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply. Jesus told us that the purpose for our lives is to love God and love people. So listen, the different life we've been called to is a life of love. Now, everyone likes love, right? Everyone talks about love. We love love. Everyone would say, I'm all about love. But love is selfless. And so much of what we do, so much of what I do, is selfish. God is calling us to something better. Jesus died for us to forgive us, to set us free so we could live a holy life. And a holy life is a life of love. If you know someone, or maybe you used to know someone who maybe says that they're a Christian, maybe goes to church, maybe all the time, and they act all holy, and they claim to be holy, but they're not loving. They are not holy, no matter what they say. Holiness always leads to love. You could say that love is the purpose of holiness. Love is the purpose, period. God is love, and his purpose for your life is for you to love him and love people. Everything he asks you to do is a reflection of his love and is to lead you into a life of love, real love, sacrificial love. That's different. Let's be that, right? You, me, us, let's be that. Let's be different. Let's be love. And let's pray for that right now. All right, let's talk to God. God, you call us to live holy lives, to be different. And there is so much in us that wants to be the same, that wants to fit in, but you call us to stand out, and we should be holy because we are different. We are your children, and we have a bigger and better purpose for our lives. God, would you help us to live holy lives so that you lead us into the life of love? Thank you for calling us out of the dumpster and to the buffet of your blessing, God. Help us, God, to stay there. To live that life. God, I pray all these things in the name of Jesus who came for us and who died for us so that we could be holy. We pray in his name. Amen.